Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a girlfriend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by Jergens Wet Skin Moisturizer. Now you can lotion up on wet skin. It absorbs like that for softness all day. Jergens, let your beautiful shine. Hey guys, it's also time to start thinking about summer activities for your kids. If you're like me, one of the things you're going to look for this summer is a fun, safe, and Christ-centered camp to send your kids to this summer. So I want to tell you about Pine Cove. Our family has loved Pine Cove for years, and it is right down the road from me in Central Texas. It's a Christian summer camp for kids in 2nd through 12th grade, and it is so much fun. Your kids are going to love hanging out with your intentional counselors. And as a mama, you're going to love how safe it is. Not to mention, they've got an app where you can see daily pictures of your kids and even have them write letters back and forth to you. So cool. Guys, check out pinecove.com to sign up today. Okay, friends, you are listening to episode number 185. And my guest today is Holly Hayes. I actually met Holly through our mutual friend, Anna. And I'm so thankful that she took the time to share her story with myself and with you today. God radically transformed Holly's life. And believe it or not, it all started with a stolen Bible. I start out this show by telling Holly about a conversation that I recently had with some of my friends at the jail about hitting rock bottom and the unique opportunity that they have to grow. And then Holly started sharing her story of hitting rock bottom. I just want to let you guys know, as you're listening to the show, that we discuss addiction and abortion and sex trafficking. And so this might not be suitable for younger ears. Holly's story is going to move you to love God more. I am confident of that. If you're someone that's listening to the show and you think to yourself, I've done something that is unforgivable, friends, I want you to stick to the end of the show because Holly is going to give you some big encouragement in your journey. Also, make sure you're following us on Instagram because we're doing a giveaway of a necklace from Holly tomorrow. Find me over at Instagram at Jamie Ivey. You guys, next week is our very last book tour stop in Waco, Texas. If you still want tickets, you can get them at jamieivey.com/Waco Book Tour. These nights are so much fun. And in fact, just this past week, we were in San Antonio and Nashville for book tour stops. Two of my favorite cities, by the way, which actually one of my kids was born in San Antonio and one was born in Nashville. Crazy. There's so much fun. Grab your girlfriends. Come alone. If you're coming to the Waco book tour stop, we've got half price tickets for all you college gals. All right, my friends, here is my conversation with Holly. Hey, Holly, welcome to the happy hour.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, introduce yourself to the listeners.
So my name is Holly Christine Hayes. I just moved to Austin, Texas recently from Paris, France, which has been an adjustment.
Okay, so I've never been to Paris.
Oh my gosh, you have to go.
But I lived in Austin for 10 years and I love it.
I love Austin too. It's a great city.
Which one do you like better?
It's just so different. So,
well, I can imagine.
Yeah, I think... Paris for me was a dream. It was like growing up, I always was like obsessed with France. I was a Francophile from a childhood. I used to tell my parents, like, when I grow up, I'm going to live in Paris, France, and I want to dance for the ballet there. And I just always loved it. And so it was such a dream come true to be living there. I never in my wildest dreams imagined I would end up in Texas. I grew up in California. So, and lived in New York and lived in Boston and LA. And yeah, and I've just never imagined I would end up in Texas, but I'm really loving it. I love like the countryside. I love the just the space between everything. And then the people. The people are so kind, which is definitely an adjustment from France.
Really?
Yeah.
Are people mean in France? Like we have all these
preconceived ideas about
just
French.
Different. Like okay. So it's a cultural thing. They're more guarded. I think in America, we tend to be really friendly with people. Even we walk into a coffee shop and we're smiling at the person who's taking our order and saying, hi, how are you?
Uh-huh. And especially in the South. I mean, absolutely. That's yes, common. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just not a thing in France. They're very guarded. If they don't know you, it's like they don't smile. They're just very professional.
So it's not even that they're being mean.
Not at all.
They're just being themselves.
They're just being, yeah.
It's, they
just,
it's a they cultural.
Yeah. They think we're fake because we're so nice. We come in and we're like, kind of weird. How are you? Yeah. And they're thinking, I don't even know you. We're not friends. Why are you smiling
exactly,
at me?
Exactly. So what brought you to Austin?
Well, I was recently married. I'm a newlywed.
Yeah. Congrats.
Thanks. So my husband and I met in San Francisco. We met in a Bible study there and we were just friends. And then I moved to Paris and he started seeing pictures of me in front of the Eiffel Tower. And apparently I looked a lot prettier
than at the Bible study yeah, in exactly. San Francisco. Okay. Yeah.
He was like, all of a sudden she's beautiful. Yeah. I want to pursue her. So he actually moved to Paris to pursue me.
Stop it.
I know. Isn't that so sweet? He's so special. So, and yeah, and he definitely had a hard time in France because he's like America on steroids. Like yeah. He's the smiliest, kindest man in the world. And he walked in everywhere with his big American smile. And I mean, he might as well have been saying, howdy, partner.
Exactly. 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 So he's California. Is he from Texas originally?
Well, his work brought him here.
Gotcha.
And so he's been working for a company for a lot of years and they transferred him out here. And I came to visit and fell in love with it. And we really wanted, after we got married, we wanted to be here in the States to start a family and stuff.
Well, welcome to Texas.
Thank you.
We're happy you're here.
Thank you.
We accept you and welcome you with all of the things.
Thank you. I'm trying to be more smiley.
You can do it. You can do it. Well, you know, I met you. You came to which?
Your book tour.
I was like, you came to something recently that I've had. Yes.
Yeah.
And I got the chance to meet you and we've gotten to text a little bit and very, very little get to know each other.
Yeah.
So I am so excited to sit down with you today because I think we have a lot of the same passions and
definitely.
A lot of same love for God's word and for his people and for women finding freedom. Yeah. And so I actually want to start out with telling you this story. I was at the jail this week. And I was talking with some of the girls at my table, and I got the opportunity to tell them that they have this unique opportunity right now where they are. I was like, you know what? Jail sucks. Like, nobody wants to be here. And all of them at the table struggle with addiction. Mm-hmm. I mean, in jail, I've met like 5 people who haven't
it's
in 2.5 years.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. And so they all struggle with addiction. And so I'm like, listen, you've been sober for 41 days, 3 weeks since you've been here. You know, so
right,
I'm telling them all
right.
of these things. I'm like, you have this unique opportunity to like, A, be sober, but B, also realize, how do I want to be different when I leave? And I always feel, and I always tell them this, I said, and listen, if you think it's weird coming from me, like, I get it. I don't struggle with addiction.
Right.
I've never spent a night in jail by the grace of God because I could have.
Yeah.
And so I always set it up with like, I get it if like, you're thinking, okay, woman, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But they talked about also about how some people think that they're fake because they've quote unquote found God in jail.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I can see how people would think that about you, but also not in jail or not. When do a lot of time like people reach out to God for the first time? Rock bottom.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was like, listen, you don't have to be fake. You hit you're at the rock bottom. And so
that's
there's only one way to reach
find God.
And it's up.
Yeah.
And you understand that.
I do. Yeah.
So tell me and the listeners, and I know one sentence of your story. Okay. So this is going to be me hearing everything for the first time.
Okay, yeah.
Tell me parts of your story, because I think what it's going to do for the listener is they're going to see, golly, God is as great as we think that he is.
He absolutely is.
Yeah. God is as good and kind and faithful as we think that he is. And also, I think it's going to open up people's eyes to things that are right around them that they don't even realize are happening. So tell us some of your story.
Yeah. So I didn't grow up in the church. I never had a relationship with God growing up. My family was, both my parents were professors. So it was really an intellectual family. And the focus was always on achieving or fitting in or, you know, doing all the things that the world says to do. And so I didn't have any understanding of God. And after my parents got divorced, when I was 14, I spiraled into a cycle of alcoholism and drug abuse and, really stemming from depression, I think, and lack of identity. And there was some abuse in my childhood. I was sexually abused as a child as well. So I think some of that was repressed and was driving a lot of that. But that progressed really quickly for me. And, by the time I was 15, I was drinking every day. and using drugs every day.
And living with your parents.
My parents were divorced at the time, and I went to live with my dad. My mom and I had had struggles, and so I lived with dad because he was a little more lenient.
For sure. Yeah. You were not a dumb 15-year-old. I mean, right, you know, you were making some really bad choices, you knew what was going to be best for what you wanted.
Exactly. Exactly. And my dad actually struggled with alcoholism as well. And so, by the time I was 15, I was drinking and using drugs every day. By 16, I dropped out of high school, and I'd always been a good student and an achiever. But it really took me down quickly. And by 19, I had my first DUI, and I'd been arrested a couple of times and had my first abortion when I was 16. By the time I was 19, I'd had 3.
Mm.
And by the time I was 21, I was homeless. I lost 2 jobs as a prostitute because of my drinking. And I found myself in a spiritual and emotional and physical bottom beyond comprehension.
At 21 years old.
21 years old.
When most people are in college.
Yeah, should have been the start of my life, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I want to hear when you are younger and you're, you know, 16, first jumping in, you see your life is spiraling out of control. Well, you probably don't realize it at the time.
Right, no. I thought it was having fun.
Yeah. I mean, and it was fun.
It
is fun, because why would anyone do it? But it's so harmful and it's not fulfilling.
Right.
You know? Was anyone aware of your life spiraling out of control? Friends, teachers, parents, family, anybody?
Yeah, I think progressively people started to become aware. It's really easy to hide in high school or in college when you're drinking, because there's, everyone's doing it. There's this sense that everyone's doing it. And, it's just like, we're just partying on the weekends and it's no big deal. But for me, I was drinking with different groups of people on different nights so that I could drink every night. And
yeah.
And there were people who started to realize it and would even confront me about it, especially as I got later on and as it progressed, but I just pushed them away.
Mm-hmm.
I would just push away anyone that wanted to talk to me about it or was judging me for it or that didn't fit really in the lifestyle I was choosing.
What about your abortions? Did you go alone?
Oh, so heartbreaking. So, every scenario was different. The first time I went, actually my dad took me, and he walked me in and I remember there was these lines of pro-lifers with their signs, and they had these little plastic fetuses, and they kept trying to get me to take them.
How old were you?
I was 16.
And so you walked in with these people. Were they yelling?
They were yelling. They were, it's funny, the way I remember it in my mind, they were so angry.
Mm.
And there was a lot of, you're killing your baby. You're killing your baby. Don't kill your baby. And at the time, like, truly, I tell you, I did not feel like I was killing a baby.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
I, at that point, I was addicted to crystal meth already at 16. I was, I dropped out of high school already. I knew it was a drug baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I still had this hope somewhere deep inside that I was going to have a normal life. And so the reason for making the decision to have an abortion was I want to have a normal life someday.
And this is not it.
And this is not it. Like, having a drug baby at age 16 is not going to lead to a normal life someday. Mm-hmm. And so, not having a relationship with God, not having the Holy Spirit in me at that point, I really didn't feel like I was murdering a child, which now is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Because I do believe now that, that abortion is murder. And, but I just didn't know. I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah. You know, I meet a lot of women who are in our program at the jail who have felt the same way.
Right.
Is they just didn't feel like there was another option.
Right.
They didn't feel like there was another option. And on our If You Only Knew series that we've done on the Happy Hour earlier this year, my friend Sean was on, and she talks about having abortions. And she even said, which I'll never forget this, she said that her second abortion, she hardly remembered until she got sober and started walking through her AA program.
Right.
She hardly even remembered.
Yeah.
Not that she was blacked out, but she just pushed it away.
Right.
Like, it just maybe didn't even happen because of just trauma and alcoholism and addiction, all kinds of things.
Yeah. And I agree. I probably only remember mine in pieces and flashes. And I remember after the first one, I threw up. And they told me, it's really normal to throw up after your first one. It won't happen again after your next ones.
Mm.
And how heartbreaking, right? I mean, it was like, and this was at a large clinic that we're probably all aware of. And, and it was like, this was their approach to abortion, was like, oh, it's your first time, so you'll throw up your first time, but don't worry, it won't happen again. And oh my gosh, how heartbreaking that that's the approach that's being taken.
Yeah. So what did you feel like when you left? Because I know you said you walked in and you're young and you're scared and you're afraid, mm-hmm. and there's people in your mind that you felt as though they were yelling at you that you're killing your baby. Then you have your abortion and then you leave. Did you mentioned, I know you told me that that was a moment for you of you thinking where, or even after you became a believer, did you remember back to that moment and think, where were those people with the abortion issues that we have today in the country? What are your thoughts? How did you feel about that?
Yeah. So it's interesting. So I've had five abortions. I had five abortions over those years. And every single time as I was walking out, what happens is, like, you know, going in, I'm sure I'm making the right decision, right? Going in, I feel 100% confident that this is the decision that I should make. But then while you're in there, your body is literally being ripped apart. Mm. There's physical pain that happens. There's an emotional pain that you don't expect. There's a hormonal change and shift in your body. And then, and there is, I believe, a spiritual awakening even that happens in that, even before Christ, you know, that happened in me at least, where when I walked out, I was wrecked, absolutely wrecked all five times. There was one time where I had to go alone. And I was in a relationship with an abusive man and I went alone. And as I was leaving, I didn't have a ride. I didn't have any money. Abortions cost money. So I just spent all my money on the abortion and I didn't have anything or anyone. And I was so emotionally destroyed. And I realize now, like, that would have been the time for those people to be there. That would have been the time for those Christians to have taken me under their wing and said, we love you. We love you even in the midst of your sin. We love you even though you just committed murder. Do you need anything? Do you need a ride? Do you need help? Do you need, you know, do you need resources? Do you need shelter? Do you need to get out of an abusive relationship? What do you need? Because we want to be here for you.
Golly, that like makes me tear up and cry because I think, man, we think in those moments, like, no protest, tell these people they're killing their baby, tell them to stop.
Yeah.
And then they do it. And we're like, well,
yeah,
sucks to be you.
That was the message I got, was like, well, you killed a baby, so we don't care
about
you anymore.
You.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we as Christians are missing an opportunity to love people the way Christ does, because I know that he was there with me, that he met me at that back door on the way out, that he never left my side, even for a moment, even during those abortions. He promises he never leaves us or forsakes us. So that means he did not leave my side, even in the midst of the most atrocious sin and the most heartbreaking moments, he never left. Mm. And so, you know, I always wonder, how can we as Christ followers actually never leave people, even in the midst of what we consider the most atrocious sin?
Yeah, it is. It's convicting.
Yeah.
You know, and it should be.
For me too.
It should be. It should pierce our hearts in ways that say, are we just people who want people to look good and do the right things? Or do we actually care about people's souls and hearts?
Right. Because in reality, if someone had met me with the love of Christ, and, you know, I'll share a little bit about what happened later and how I met Jesus. But if someone had met me with the love of Christ at that door, at that back door, even that first abortion, that first time, I don't think I ever would have had a second or a third or a fourth or a fifth abortion. And so if the goal is really to save unborn children, you know, I think we have to save souls first, because we really don't know that it's murder until we have the Holy Spirit in us, until we have a relationship with God to reveal that truth to us.
Yeah.
When we're walking in addiction and we're walking in sin and we're living a life that's so far from God, how could we possibly know or care about doing God's will?
It's so true. Those are all the things that you were walking. You weren't walking with God,
right?
Addiction, loneliness, depression. And then you walk in and what's happening outside that was not going to be like, oh my gosh, you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
This is murder. I see it, you know? And so, man,
Let me join you in your protest.
Yes, exactly.
Do I sign up?
Exactly. Right. It's such a good word for us to remember, not even in this scenario, but in every encounter that we have, or every cause that we're against, or everything that we want to happen, that it is more about
loving people.
Loving people.
Yep.
Loving people. If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas: because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline.
If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Okay, so you're dropped out of school. By 21, you've had numerous abortions. Mm-hmm. What happens next?
Yeah, so I was on the floor of a public bathroom one day. It was February 10th of 2001. And I just started bawling. I was watching my tears hit the floor and I just said, God, help me. And I have no idea why I said it. It was like my soul crying out from the depth of a pit. I had no other words, but I was just so lost. I couldn't stop. I couldn't keep going. And I said, God, help me. And that night, that very night, just a few hours later, I ended up meeting someone who was 18 years old and he was 3 years sober. And he took me to my first recovery meeting that next day. And I've been sober since that day, which was February 11th of 2001. So
you were sober since then?
Immediately.
This is not the normal story that we hear,
right?
With someone with addiction and alcoholism. Yeah.
It's pretty miraculous.
Okay. So you're on the bathroom floor. God help me. Mm-hmm. What led you there? What was happening in your life previously before it led you there?
Yeah. So I was in a really abusive relationship at the time. And I'd always thought that the very lowest that I could go in terms of life would be working as a prostitute. But I found out that the very lowest that I could go was actually failing as a prostitute, losing two jobs as a prostitute.
Because you thought, this if I get here, it's the worst.
That's the worst, right?
And then you find out, I can't even do this job.
Yeah, I couldn't even show up. I'd actually lost a job as a stripper earlier because I showed up drunk. And then lost two jobs as a prostitute because I just kept getting drunk and didn't show up. And so, I mean, praise God I didn't, right?
Right.
I thank God for that. Now I think it was a wonderful protection now, but at the time it just felt like the worst failure.
I'm failing again. I can't even be a prostitute.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was in a relationship with this man who was the one who was selling me. And so funny, at the time I remember thinking like, wow, he thinks I'm so special. He thinks that I'm so sexy and amazing and wonderful that he just wants the whole world to enjoy me. And what an honor. I mean, I honestly felt like flattered by it. And obviously,
How old were you? Looking back on it now,
it started when I was 19.
Okay.
And it went on for those 2 years from 19 to 21. And yeah, it's so funny because I had no idea that that wasn't okay.
Mm.
I really thought that he loved me. I thought he was trying to help me out. And I thought he was, you know, trying to share me with all of these people who could enjoy me as well. And then we could both make money on it. Did not realize that that him selling me and taking a cut of the proceeds was trafficking.
It's trafficking. That is trafficking
no
at
idea.
Its definition. If you're if you're giving money away, I noticed that when we do our section on trafficking at the county jail, we'll talk about trafficking. We give stats. We tell about it. And then what you just said was, I didn't realize that when he was taking money that it was trafficking.
Yeah.
And we talk about the ways, what makes trafficking, like force, fraud, coercion, all of those things identify trafficking. And all the time we have women self-identify and go, I never knew that's what it was.
That was me. I never knew.
And you know what? I want to speak right now to the listeners, because there are some of you who are listening and you're like, what kind of girl thinks that? Mm-hmm. What is wrong with her? I would never. Mm-hmm. Who is that? And I just want to tell you that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I just want to tell you that you're wrong and that we do not need to have that kind of mentality when someone is sharing their story, when someone's talking about where they've been. Because let me tell you, it is by the grace of God that you that are listening that are thinking that have not also walked down some of these roads. Yeah, so yeah. I just like, I need to say that because I even say it to the girls at the jail. I'm like, don't you even think less of somebody. Mm-hmm. Don't you ever, because we just don't know what someone's been through. So trafficked, I just went on a soapbox right there, Holly. Like, that'll get me fired up.
I appreciate it because a lot of people don't realize. I think even I didn't, right? I started getting into anti-trafficking causes when I came to Christ before I realized that I had been trafficked.
Golly.
I just was passionate about it because I thought, but I thought that trafficking meant you live in Southeast Asia, you were stolen from your parents, mm-hmm. and you were sold to another group who then locks you in a basement and then you're raped, right? And so that was in my mind what it was. It took me so many years to realize that that was me too. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because I had all this passion for it. I had no idea why I had such passion for it until I realized many years later, wow, that's my story too. That's
Have you read Girls Like Us?
No. Oh, should I?
Yes. Okay. You should read it today.
Okay.
It's by Rachel Lloyd, I believe is her name. And I read it a couple of years ago and it was when my eyes were open to trafficking because I was like you. I thought, Southeast Asia, Cambodia, locked in a room, chained, not given any food. Mm-hmm. When in the reality, many women can be trafficked and live what they think, a quote unquote, really great life.
Right. Yeah. And the chains just look different.
The chains look different.
Yeah.
The chains look different. So that was even a part of your story. So, I mean, we've got addiction, abortion, trafficking, and you end up on the bottom of the floor and say, God, help me.
Yeah.
It's just
pretty audacious to ask God to help me in a situation like that, right?
But also, it's just another example of like, I mean, we see it in the New Testament when someone's like, God, I don't know if you can, but I'm going to believe. Like, help me. Yes, help me believe. I want to know this.
And I think that's where he loves to meet us. I mean, I really believe that like there was something that happened to me on that floor that was just the ultimate surrender. I was done living my own life. I was ready to die to myself. And I think God loves it when we're ready to die to ourselves because that's a life he can take and mold completely for his glory. That's a life he can say, okay, you're done. All right. Let me flood in and do things beyond your wildest dreams with your life.
Do you look back and see any other times in your life that you might've been ready for that? Or did you have to like, you were just...
You know what's so funny? I didn't remember this, but I apparently went to an Acquire the Fire conference that my mom's friend took me to when I was 7. And I do not remember this, but I apparently got saved at that conference. Uh-huh. The only thing I remember was years later when I came to Christ and I became a worship leader, we were like backstage one time and everyone started singing this song, Our God is an Awesome God.
And I was like, wait, I have a memory.
Oh my gosh, I have a memory. And it turned out that I had like, apparently responded to the altar call, did not remember any of it. But sometimes I wonder, like, did God honor that? Mm-hmm. Did he actually honor that decision that I made in that moment at age 7 to be with me all of my life? Mm-hmm. But really, I think I had to hit a complete bottom before I was willing to ask for help.
And everybody's bottom looks different.
It's so true.
It really does.
It's so true. For some people, their bottom could feel as bad as mine felt, and it might just be anxiety or problems in parenting or depression or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think pain is pain, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone has their own threshold for that. Yeah. And that's something I have to work on always is to try not to judge other people's pain. Like, oh, sob story. Yeah. You know?
You're like, hey, have you ever been trafficked?
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you've never been in jail? Okay.
Okay, right. Okay, so you're on the bottom. You meet this man. Which again, I'm like, God, thank you, God, that he brought like a nice man because you were pretty like vulnerable.
Yeah.
Very vulnerable. Let's just be honest. So you meet this nice man, you go to a recovery meeting and you have been sober since that day. Yeah. I am blown away.
Just over 17 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It really is a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
It is a miracle. Addiction is no joke and praise be to God.
Yeah. Yeah. I also believe it's treatable too. You know, I mean, I believe that God wants to restore our hearts and our lives. And I believe that the tools that are offered in recovery programs work. I really believe they do.
So you become sober, but you didn't start following Jesus.
No. So I still didn't know who that God was.
That you had called out to.
Yeah.
Did you think that God had helped you?
I knew God had helped me.
Okay.
And so I spent a lot of years seeking God. I knew in my, like, to the core of my being that I had cried out to God
on that bathroom floor.
And that I'd been rescued that night. And I knew that it was a God that was keeping me sober. I knew that it was God that was moving in my life and directing my path and healing my heart, even beginning to heal my heart. But I had no idea who God was. And I remember, like, I read every book that Oprah recommends, and I tried like yoga and meditation and Buddhism.
Looking for this God.
Looking for God.
Wow.
But the problem was I never would have considered Christianity. And a lot of times it was because I would flash back to Christians that I had met that weren't very loving with me. You know, the women in the abortion, mm-hmm. walking into the abortion or just other things I'd heard, or, you know, I thought that God in the Christian sense would have been judgmental, mm-hmm. and that I wouldn't have been accepted. Mm.
So how did that change?
How
did you meet the God of the universe, Jesus Christ? How did you meet him?
So yeah, funny story. I had this Bible that I had stolen.
Hilarious. Just fitting. I love it. It's great.
Right? God will use anything.
That's right. Even a stolen Bible.
So yeah, I'd stolen this Bible and
from where? Where'd you steal it from? I'm just curious.
From a school library. I was playing a role. I worked in theater for a lot of years, and I was playing a role of a Christian woman in The Grapes of Wrath. And so I was like, I should research this role by reading the Bible. And I remember opening it and just, it was complete gibberish to me. Mm-hmm. I could not read it. Mm-hmm. And this was a pretty modern translation. It was an NIV. Uh-huh. Like, it wasn't even
right.
King
we're not
James
talking,
or
exactly,
something.
Yeah.
But without the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. I think, and when we're not ready, God's word can sometimes just be a jumbled mess.
Totally, yeah.
And that was my experience. I could not read it. And so it just sat on my shelf.
How did your role go, though? Did you portray
a
good Christian?
Actually, it went well. Yeah, I got like good reviews for it and everything.
Good.
Yeah. Maybe that was God planting seeds. I even knew it.
Exactly. So you have the stolen school library Bible.
Yes. So I have the stolen Bible. And I remember one day I just said, okay, God, if you're real and if you're in here, speak to me. And I opened up the Bible and I put my finger inside, and my finger landed on the passage in John 8.
No, it did not.
Where Jesus forgives the adulterous
woman. No, it did not.
Yep.
It's one of my favorite.
I know. I read in your book and I was like, oh, this girl's after my heart.
Yes.
John 8.
So you end up in John 8.
John 8, Jesus forgiving the adulterous woman. So this was me meeting Jesus for the first time. And I saw this God for the first time who loved someone in her sin and then loved her out of it. And I knew that this was the God that had saved me. I knew that this was the God that goes around to public bathrooms, picking girls like me up off the floor and giving them a whole new life. Mm. And I wanted to know more. And so I read the whole New Testament, and then I went back and I read the whole Old Testament.
And you're not in a church.
Nope.
You're not like.
No, I was so scared.
In a small group.
Not in a small group.
You're not around believers.
No, I knew one. Yeah. So I just wanted to read the Bible.
But you're like a secret Bible reader at night.
And it literally was a secret. I mean, I was, you know, I worked in musical theater, and that's like, and I lived in San Francisco, and those things are not like, it's not cool to be reading the Bible.
No, not in San Francisco.
No, not in musical theater either. You know, it just was not a career that welcomed Christ followers necessarily. And so I was secretly reading the Bible, and I took several months to read through the Bible, and it was actually a year of me and the Bible, just me and Jesus, and getting to know who God was. And the things that happened in my life and in my heart in that time were unbelievable. I mean, he went in and just healed shame that I'd had for so long, and I saw God using people like me. Mm. I saw people like me all over the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, and I saw him loving them, and I saw him transforming them. And I developed this wonderful relationship with the God of the universe and the God who saved me. And it was about a year in that I went to Israel to be baptized. I didn't know that you were supposed to like go to a church to be baptized.
So you just went to Israel
to get baptized. Yeah.
By yourself?
Yeah. I was in a relationship with someone at the time. So we went together, but he was not baptized. So I went by myself, and there was no one there to baptize me. Like, I didn't even know you were supposed to go with a pastor or something, because I didn't have a pastor. So I showed up on the banks of the Jordan River just looking for someone to baptize me.
And who did?
It was this Russian Orthodox priest.
So like literally you were just like, person, can you baptize me?
Yes. I was going up to everyone asking if they would baptize
Holly,
me.
This is the best.
It was so funny. So, and everyone said no. There was like, they were either with a group that was about to leave or whatever. And then this sweet Russian Orthodox priest with the big tall hat and everything came walking toward me and had this beautiful smile. And I said, sir, would you be willing to baptize me? And he said, I assume you are not Russian Orthodox. And I said, no, but I really want to be baptized. I came all the way from California. And he said, I will baptize you. And so he baptized me. And
you have pictures?
I have pictures. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to need you to share those with
me. Yeah. I will. There's a picture in my book as well.
So you go to Israel to get baptized.
Yep.
You know, Holly, one thing I'm loving about this is your love and desire and craving for the word of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is something that so many people don't even have who've been walking with him for years.
Right.
I mean, I'm even thinking about like seasons in my own life where I'm like, man, I don't crave God's word the way that it was literally, it was food and water for you.
Absolutely. It was food, water, medicine, life itself. I mean, it really, the word of God is what transformed me. And so I know it's alive. I know it's true. I know it works. I know that Jesus lives in it because I met him in it. There was no Christian. I mean, I knew Christians, but there was no person that was giving me God. There was no church community or Christian culture that I was being formed or shaped by. It was just the word of God. And it was more than enough. Mm. In fact, it was better because then by the time I got into Christian community, my identity was already so solidly rooted in who God said I was that I didn't worry about what people thought of me. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when I encountered and still do today encounter people who are sort of shocked by my story or even upset by my story or, even subconsciously might think this person doesn't belong in leadership or in the church or in God's kingdom, I'm able to stand on the word of God and say, no, I know. That he loves me, that he saved me, that he's transformed me, that he wants to use me. So it's probably the healthiest place really to have spiritual formation.
You know, it is the healthiest. You know why? Because here I am thinking, golly, how did it take you a year, 2 years to believe that? And it took me, after following Jesus, right. 15 years to figure that out, or, 10 years to figure that out. You know why? Because I had all this Christian culture crap in my head.
Right.
Where I thought that God couldn't use me because I had done this or this or that.
Right.
And you actually were just like, well, Jesus did in
but
the
he
Bible.
Says,
he
yeah.
said it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to believe it, which is my like anthem for women now. It's like, just believe what he says.
Right.
It's there. Believe it. And you took him at his word.
Right. And I think that is harder to do sometimes in the church because there is this deep desire in the church to follow Jesus and to follow his word and to be obedient. And I love that. I love walking in obedience today. I think it's important. I think it's valid, but then the focus on obedience can sometimes take away from the good news of the gospel that we're always forgiven.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. Yeah. That is so true. All right, friends, I know you're loving this show, and Holly's story is so unbelievably amazing, and we're going to get back to it in just a minute. But first, I want to thank our sponsors, people that make the happy hour happen. Are any of you guys hiring? You know, every business needs great people, and we need a better way to find these great people. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. You guys, here's the deal. ZipRecruiter knew that there was a smarter way. So they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and then invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, listen to this, you guys, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And you guys, ZipRecruiter does not stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there, you guys. ZipRecruiter is how you're going to find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, my listeners of the Happy Hour, that's you if you're listening, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, you guys, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/HH. That's ZipRecruiter.com/HH. The smartest way to hire is ZipRecruiter.com/HH. You guys, I also want to thank another sponsor for the Happy Hour, and that is Mr. Clean Magic Eraser. You guys know it's spring cleaning. I told you got this before. The Ivies have been doing some spring cleaning. And if you're getting ready to tackle your spring cleaning this year, you should use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to take on the impossible stains that sprays and your wipes just cannot handle. We tried it in our house on tough messes and it blew us away. We used it in our bathroom around the bathtub to get that soap scum out. We've used it in the kitchen on our stove. We've used it on the walls to get the, you know, the stuff where your kids put their fingerprints all over the walls. We've done it all. It's also so easy to use. All you have to do is wet it under the tap, give it a squeeze, and then it's ready to erase. Y'all, my 10-year-old Story has used the magic eraser around the house. And because it cleans with water alone, you don't have to worry about harsh cleaning, fumes, or scents. In fact, if you're about to take on your spring cleaning, I'm just going to say from one friend to another is that you should definitely try Mr. Clean Magic Eraser. It makes cleaning your toughest kitchen and bathroom messes fast and easy. Check out MrClean.com/thehappyhour to see more ways the Magic Eraser can help you knock out impossible messes all around your house. All right, guys, back to my conversation with Holly. Well, so this is unbelievable, but there's more because I don't know how you were feeling. I know how I felt in sin and shame from past decisions, right, that the man that I would marry would maybe not fully deserve what he was getting.
Yeah.
You know, because I just thought, man, you know, in my story, when I married my husband, he was a virgin and I was clearly not. And he had never drank alcohol and I had been drunk way too many times in high school and college. Yeah. Tell me about that struggle for you. And it was it. I'm assuming
it was. Yeah. And my husband's like yours. Was just a good old Christian boy his whole life.
And y'all met in Bible study.
We met in Bible study and, and I dated, you know, I dated a lot when I came to Christ and, I shouldn't say a lot. I dated, I dated a few people when I came to Christ and each time that revelation of my life and my past had to come up. And I loved reading that in your book about that moment on the beach where it's like, okay, so I need to tell you everything.
Here
now.
It is.
And my everything. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And each time there was the fear and the vulnerability, but I knew that, I knew who Jesus said I was. I knew that I could stand on who he said I was. And so, there were definitely times that I was rejected for my past and it was heartbreaking, but at the same time, I knew that wasn't the man that God had for me because I knew that the man that God had for me was going to see me the way that Jesus did. And so in some ways it was really easy. It was like, I got to weed people out pretty easily.
Okay, you're
like,
dead.
Hey, here's my life. What do you think? And if they were at all frightened by it or at all, if their response wasn't, what an incredible redemptive story God's writing on your life and I want in on it, then I knew they weren't the man that God had for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So how, do you remember when you told your husband for the first time?
Yeah.
Was it in San Francisco or Paris?
It was in Paris.
He had already trekked across the world?
Yes. And that's a little scary because it's
had
like,
he moved or he was
no,
on visiting?
He came to visit first. And
you're like, I have to tell him before he packs his
absolutely.
Bags.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So when he came out to visit for the first time, first, you know, I kind of pushed him off and I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to date, but he was like, let me just come and visit as friends. And so he came out to spend time with me just as friends at first. And then he asked me out on a date with these, like this beautiful bouquet of roses.
In Paris.
And,
yes. You had your first date in Paris.
Yeah, we had our first date
come
in
on.
Paris.
It doesn't get any better.
I know, it really doesn't. It was pretty romantic.
Yeah.
But I knew that I needed to talk to him about it pretty quickly. And it was so amazing when I revealed, all of my life story, because I kind of shared the whole thing all at once. What he said to me was, now I understand where your joy comes from.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He said, I've always seen such joy in you. And now I understand that it's that, that he who's been forgiven much loves much, that there's a joy in you that can only come from someone who's overcome so much and knows, truly knows the joy of the Lord. And I teared up and I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, this is, not just like the response that I would hope for from the man that I would marry of like, you're forgiven. God says you're forgiven. So I love you and I forgive you. But it was, no, this is the best thing about you.
I see it in you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Did you know then that you were going to marry him?
I hoped.
You're like, he's here on visiting. We'll see what happens.
He's really cute. Yeah. And he says that he likes my past.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I definitely hoped. And we needed to spend time together and get to know each other. But But yeah, I definitely hope that he would be the one after that talk.
And he was.
Yeah, it turns out.
Anyways, how long did y'all date?
Not long. So that was in November. And then we were engaged in July and married in September. So
love it.
We knew pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But we were older, you know, I mean, we were in our 30s. And mm-hmm. so it was, we knew what we were looking for and we knew when it was right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know that people are going to be listening and they're thinking, okay, this is awesome that Holly and Jamie can like air out all their dirty laundry in books and podcasts and stuff. And, you know, the question I get all the time is this what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to like get a microphone and yell out everywhere we've been.
Right.
And I'm just like, no, but I am thinking, man, this is how God uses our stories.
He does.
He uses our stories. And this is, you're an example of that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that it's not always your favorite thing to stand up and say, okay, so I had 5 abortions. I was an alcoholic by 16 right. and, you know, jail and all these kind of things. Those things aren't fun. You know,
what is fun is like afterward when people come up to you and they're like, thank you for saying that mm-hmm. because now I can say what I've been through. And I really do believe that God delights in it too. Mm-hmm. I think that there's such power in testimony and that faith rises in testimony. And so it's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's so worth yep. it.
And stories, I say stories change lives. Stories yeah. change the world. I mean, it does that. And I hope that as you're listening, you're thinking, okay, I've never experienced any of this stuff, but I do have pain that yeah. I want to really trust who God says I am. I'm not this pain. I'm not this struggle. I'm not this sin. Mm-hmm. I'm not this that I've always been told I was. Mm-hmm. And then you get to turn around and use the way that God's redeemed you
mm-hmm.
to like give him glory.
Yeah. You know what I love? Scripture talks about how for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. And I always love that scripture because I think of, well, what was the joy set before him that he endured the cross for? And if we know that he endured the cross to take away sin, to take away shame, to strip all of that off us, then the joy set before him was us living a life free from all of it and us being able to give testimony and give him glory for all of it. So really when we give him testimony and glory and we talk about how much he's forgiven or the sin or shame that he's stripped off of us, that's the joy that was set before him. That's the joy that he endured the cross for.
Totally, totally. And you know what I was just thinking? If people are afraid to share their mess, you know what would have been life-changing for you had you exited that door at the end of the clinic and someone had said, I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've done this too.
Yep.
And let me tell you what has brought me freedom.
Yeah.
That would have been life-changing.
Absolutely. And that's my heart. I mean, I dream of building a ministry that meets people at the other door and, you know, that just loves on women walking out of that back door of an abortion clinic, of the jail, which is what you're yeah. already doing, which mm-hmm. I love, of rehab facilities, mm-hmm. of all the places where we tend to hit our worst bottoms. And I just feel like if we can meet people at that door, that's where Jesus really becomes alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's John 8, right?
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah. Jesus met her right mm-hmm. there.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone left.
Mm-hmm.
It is like they're all there. Like, I'm going to throw stones. I'm going to throw totally. Stones. I'm going to throw stones. Just like
yeah.
judging.
Yeah.
And then Jesus is like, okay, you can throw if you don't have any sin.
And yeah. I love that too, because I think it's important for us to remember. Yeah. Like a lot of people listening may not have my story, but we all have sin.
Totally.
We all have a past. There's something, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's something that in this moment, someone's thinking, I need to put down my stone.
Totally. Yep. Yep.
And so I think that was such a perfect picture for me to see as my first introduction to who Jesus is and what life in Christ can look like is that we're all equal. Like all sin is equal in the eyes of God. So whether the sin is pride or the sin is 5 abortions,
mm-hmm.
there is nothing that God can't forgive. And he really sees it all equally, which is sort of upsetting.
It's
sometimes.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
I mean, us that we feel like we have the quote unquote bad sins. We're like, mm-hmm. oh, praise God. And then people who are like, well, I just have pride. They're like, she gets the same kind of grace that I get.
Right.
But it's so true. And yeah. we all need it. I am never going to get over that you opened up a stolen Bible for the first time and read John 8. I swear to you, I will think about that until I die.
It's pretty cool. I mean, if I was to go back in my life and pick the perfect scripture to give to me in that moment, it would have been that. And of course, right? Because God is perfect. And he was writing the story from the beginning. He knew exactly where my finger needed to open up. To. It kind of baffles me sometimes because it's pretty far back in the
totally
Bible. Too. Why
is.
Didn't I open to the middle?
Yeah,
like I should have opened a psalm or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how. I don't know how. But and then it showed up twice more in like within the period of a week or so, that story. And so it was like, okay.
I'm listening.
All right. Yeah. I'm listening.
Wow. Exactly. Okay. So now, what does life look like for you? Mm-hmm. How do you feel as though God's taking your story in your life and how he's redeemed you? How are you then, quote unquote, giving that back? What right. are you doing?
Yeah. So I'm really passionate about helping other people get free of that shame. It took a little while for me, and I had to go through some work to get there. Like it wasn't Jesus healed me in moments and gave me like revelation that brought a lot of freedom. And then there were other times where I needed to go to people for help and needed to get counseling. And I needed to do inner healing work with people in the church. And so my heart now is to help other people walk through that and to work with other women who are coming out of that. And, you know, I love like that Jesus can partner with us in whatever work we're doing, whether it's in recovery programs. I love the 12 steps. Oh, such beautiful spiritual disciplines. And I think when Jesus meets us in the 12 steps, there's so much power there. I think he can meet us in counseling if we're working with counselors that are open to us bringing Jesus in and saying, okay, how can we talk about my identity in Christ in relation to this issue that I want to work through? And then I'm really passionate too about just like going straight to Jesus in meditation. Mm-hmm. I've had such incredible moments with him in meditation, and I help other women do this too, where I've gone back to moments in my past and said, okay, God, show me where you were in this moment. Show me where you were in the abortion clinic. Show me where you were. Show me where you were in that abuse or that rape or that situation. And I've had him actually show me, images of him, Jesus, either kneeling beside me and interceding for me or with an arm outstretched, delivering me in a moment. Or one time he like an army of angels flooded in to protect me, to guard my heart in a moment. And so I love taking other people through that work as well to like, because I think now when I look back on my past and look back on those moments, I can't see them without Jesus there. And so I literally can't have shame because I see my Savior in the midst of it with me in it.
Which is uncommon for people to say that I look back on some of the hardest moments and see that God was actually with me.
He truly was, though. There's nowhere he won't go. I know that. Mm-hmm. There's no place that's too dark for him. He wants to redeem all of it. I remember him showing me this really beautiful image of I was lying on the floor and just covered in like scrapes and scars and stains.
Is this a true image or this is
like this was in meditation?
Okay, got it.
In inner healing meditation, and so I saw basically my sin on me, and I saw him standing over me, and he pulled the sin off of me, like all the scars and the scrapes and the pain, and he pulled it onto his body. And then he took his gleaming white righteousness and poured it down onto my body. And I really understood the cross for the first time, that like, he doesn't just take our sin. He takes sin that was done to us. He takes, our harms and our hurts and really everything, all of the stains in our lives off of our bodies and gives us his righteousness. And so then it's like, well, I can't walk around. I can't try to take it back. Like he's already taken it. I have to walk around free because he paid too high a price for me to get free.
It's so true. It's so true. And when we question that, we're actually saying, God, you really aren't that big.
Oh, yeah. There's a quote from your book that I love about that. I even wrote it down to like tweet it later.
Oh, you're kind.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And I don't want to mess it up. It's like when we live in, I'll just read it. But
okay,
it's,
good. I don't even know where, I mean, I think I might know what you're going to say, but I couldn't say it verbatim.
A life of guilt and shame does not proclaim the goodness of God. It proclaims the impotence and inadequacy of God. Jamie Ivey, if you only knew.
Thank you right there, Holly.
I love that quote, though, because it's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. When we're walking around in guilt and shame, we're not proclaiming that God is good. We're saying he's good enough for some people, but not for me. Yep. My sin's
totally,
too big.
Totally. And I feel like, I mean, I felt like this for so many years, is I feel like I owed God a life of I'm not worthy.
Oh, yeah. Of like penance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, it's just what it is. I need to be sad and sorrowful for this and embarrassed and shameful because then God knows I'm really sorry about
it. Right, right. And I think there's a moment of that that we need where it's like conviction from the Holy Spirit, but then he wants us to walk in forgiveness. Mm-hmm. He wants us to live in forgiveness because really when we start holding on to our own guilt and shame, we have a really hard time forgiving other people too.
Yeah, yeah. And that conviction and that feeling should lead to repentance.
Exactly.
And then when it leads to repentance, we are forgiven and we are set free, but it wasn't leading to repentance for me. It was just leading to, I'm a horrible person.
Right.
I'll bear this cross forever because then you'll know how sorry and bad and awful I was. And thank you for Jesus, but I don't know that he can handle this.
Yeah. Thank you for this grace, but I'm going to not take it.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. I remember the moment that I realized my abortions were murder. I was listening to this podcast and they were talking about David being a murderer. And I was like, I can't believe God could even forgive a murderer. I was thinking to myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came on me and said, Holly, you're a murderer too. Mm-hmm. You've murdered 5 of my babies. And I remember the conviction that came over me, the remorse that came over me, and I was weeping and there was this overwhelming sadness, but then immediately God said, and I've forgiven you and I've taken even that. And it was like, okay, I guess I can't stay here.
Yeah.
I guess I can't stay in this pain because you say you've forgiven it. So who am I to hold on to it?
Which, you know, abortion is such a hard thing because there are so many women that have walked through that and haven't told anyone.
I've found that too. It's funny. I'll confess it. And then people will come up
all
to me and confess to me that they've done it and they've never told anyone.
Yeah.
And
what do you say to them? What do you say to the person who's listening and actually is thinking, this is me. I've never even told my husband. I hear that all the time.
Oh yeah, I know. Me too. And I always just say, you're forgiven. And I'll tell them that story about how God showed me that it was murder, but then in the moment said, and I forgive you. There's nothing I can't forgive. And I thank them for confessing to me because they've now said it out loud. And I believe there is power in confession. You know, scripture says, confess your sins to God and he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, which is wonderful. But then there's this other part that says, confess to one another, pray for each other that you might be healed, which means the healing actually comes in confessing to each other. And so I remind them of that and thank them for confessing to me, even if I don't know them.
Yeah.
And
sometimes
we need to confess to a stranger.
Yeah. It gets into
I'll
the light.
I'll probably get a few emails
I know,
after
right?
this podcast.
Me Confession. Too. Yeah, me too. Me too. And I think for women, it's hard because we feel maybe more guilt over this pregnancy and this baby than we would maybe over other sins. And I get that.
Because there's another life involved that didn't have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, it goes back to, we can't put this as the one thing that God says, I can't forgive this.
It's so true. And you know what's beautiful is that when he showed me that he forgave me, he also said, and they're with me.
Mm.
Your babies are with me. And he showed me images of them. He's given me their names. I know their names. I get to pray for them all the time. And I know today that I'm still their mama. And I know that sounds really weird, but I know them. He's given me the opportunity to know them. And he's raised them for me because he knows that I couldn't at that moment. And so I know that he can redeem anything. I know that there's nothing that he wasn't surprised by it. He's not like, oh my gosh, oops, she
I didn't
had
see
an
this
abortion.
Coming.
I didn't,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He knew. And he always had a plan for those children even. He always had a redemptive story for them.
It's so true. And I am so grateful for you sharing your story today.
Thanks.
I mean, so I feel so honored to have heard it. Uh-huh. And now all of these thousands of women that have heard it, they're honored as well to share with your story. But more than that, I know that when we, just like we've talked about 1,000 times in the last 20 minutes, mm-hmm. when we say these things out loud, they're not just so that we can proclaim Holly and Jamie's story.
Right.
These are so that we can proclaim the goodness and faithfulness and kindness of God who loves us so much. And so
Absolutely.
You have done that well today, my
Thank
friend.
You.
Okay, before we go, and before I ask you what you're loving and reading, tell us about the newest project that you just started.
Yeah. So I have a book that just came out. It's called From Basement to Sanctuary. And I talk about finding healing and transformation through surrender. And I share my story in there and I give some exercises that people can go through to really get free of their shame if it's something that they're struggling with around absolutely any issue. You don't have to have walked through my life to get something out of the book. But most recently, I've just started a nonprofit called Sanctuary Project that I'm so excited about. And it's a community of survivors of trafficking, violence, and addiction. And I believe those three things are often really linked.
Totally.
We have a jewelry line that just came out. We have a candle line that came out. And we have a home decor line that's coming soon. And so this is a community where we're going to be employing hopefully many women over time that are survivors that are coming out of this. And this is an opportunity for them to transition into a healthy and whole and transformed lifestyle.
I love it so much. And I'm just going to like name it and claim it right now that one day some of the girls that are leaving the county jail at Travis County are going to be making candles and jewelry with you.
I pray that's true. I really hope so.
I really hope so as well.
I just can't wait to like work with these women. And, you know, this is a brand new company, so we're still like getting things off the ground. But I know God's given me such a heart for you know, giving these women a new life and eventually writing letters of recommendation for them to go on to even bigger things. But it's so hard to find work when you have a record, let's say, or when you're coming, when you're, you know, just getting sober. I remember, you know, I was so nervous every time. I still get nervous sometimes when they ask for a background check, and I work for churches. So I'm like, okay, you know my story, right?
Right,
so the
right.
background check's going to have some stuff. And
Yeah. But, well, even it's hard too to find work even when you leave jail too, because sometimes you don't even have a home to go to.
Totally. Yeah.
You and can't we go back to the same
someday too.
You can't that's go back to the hope. Same people.
It's true.
Because that's how you got there.
Exactly. And I think the temptation sometimes is just to go back to what you know. And so the more resources there are out there for people to step into a new life that's safe, that's comfortable, where they can thrive in creativity. And, you know, there's something so meditative. I've been making the jewelry with another advocate right now, and there's something so meditative about it.
Working
and actually
with your
healing.
Hands, yeah.
Making something beautiful. Yeah. And, you know, each of our pieces has a message of hope. We have, I've been intentional about what I'm designing to create messages of hope with each piece.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are y'all on Instagram?
We are. Yeah.
What's your Instagram?
It's sanctuary_project.
Okay. So they can find you on Instagram
and
your webpage.
Instagram,
I'll put it all
website.
In the show notes. So everyone can go find it at sanctuary_project on Instagram, which Instagram's my favorite. So that's
Mine
what I ask
too.
About.
I know.
So fun.
It's hard for me to go anywhere else.
Me too.
Now.
Me too. I'm like Instagram for the win. Okay. So could we give away a necklace?
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So whenever you're listening to this, if you're listening to it the day it comes out, the following day on that Thursday, I will put up a picture of the necklace on Instagram and we'll do a giveaway and everyone can come check out all your stuff.
Yeah.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Okay, what are you loving and what are you reading?
Oh, okay, so what I'm loving. Okay, I'm loving, have you heard of Latote?
Yes. It's
oh
where you get
those gosh.
Clothes in the mail.
Yes. And it's not just like, so I tried some of the other clothes in the mails things like Stitch Fix and stuff. And I'm really, really picky. Like I want to be able to choose myself. And then the other thing is like with Latote, you actually can, it's just rental. Like you can wear them and then send them back. And so I love that because I never want to wear the same thing again.
On Latote?
No, not today, but like yesterday and the day before. I'm in between boxes right now.
So how many do you get at a time? How many clothes?
So you get, it depends on your subscription, but I get 5 pieces of clothes and 3 accessories. And then
so
you can
fun.
Do several in a month. You can do like 4 boxes in a month if you wear them really fast and send them back.
Uh-huh.
And then you never have to wear the same thing twice again.
I love it. I did something like that similar before and it was so much fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun. And then you can keep some of the clothes if you love them and you get to keep them at like a discounted price because they're used.
Love it.
It's perfect.
Love
it's
it.
It's amazing.
Okay, Latote, what else?
Oh, I'm loving marble jewelry right now. This is something that we did a lot of for Sanctuary Project, but It's so funny. Like my husband and I were shopping for countertops and kept seeing all this beautiful Carrara marble. And I said to him, this was about a year ago, why don't they make jewelry in Carrara marble? It's so beautiful. And then we spent this last summer in Paris. And while we were in Paris, I started seeing little pieces here and there that were Carrara marble inspired. And so for Sanctuary Project, I've done a lot of like marble.
It's really
jewelry.
Beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful?
Very beautiful.
I am wearing that right
now.
Yes,
yes.
But yeah, I love it because it has this feeling of like, you know, some of the cathedrals of Paris or something with their marble pews or marble.
So fabulous.
Yeah. And then it's just cool and neutral. It goes with everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What else?
I'm loving the Passion Translation of the Bible. Mm. Have you read it yet?
No, but you know, you're the second person to say that on
really?
Here.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's interesting. Cause I have like, so a girlfriend of mine got it for me for my birthday. I am so in love with it. The language is so rich and descriptive. And I like to pray the Psalms in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so the Psalms in the Passion Translation are just so elegant. I mean, it's just so wordy. I mean, if you're like into words, uh-huh. which obviously you are, you're yeah. a writer. Right? Uh-huh. So if you're into words, it's just so beautiful.
What are you reading?
I just read your book.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you.
No, and I loved it.
Thank you
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, I just finished reading it. And I just loved it. I mean, I'm so passionate about the church getting more transparent and vulnerable, but not just transparent and vulnerable for transparency's sake. Like, here's all my sin.
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
But actually like to proclaim the goodness of God, that there is nothing he can't forgive. There's nothing he can't redeem. There's no life that's too far gone. And I loved your story because I think that the church needs to hear stories of people in the church. Mm-hmm. Obviously my story is so different because I came from outside the church and it's like, I didn't know, mm-hmm. right? But then, you know, your story is so beautiful. Because it's like, here I knew and I walked away anyway. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it. I loved
well,
yeah.
Thank you.
I read it in like 2 days. I just soaked up every
thank
word.
Thank you so much. Thanks yeah. for reading it. Anything now, what are you reading?
Well, I'm gonna read that book that you recommended.
Oh, yes, what, Girls Like Us.
Girls Like Us. Yeah, I think that's gonna be next.
Okay, yeah. We could talk for hours, but we
yeah.
gotta go.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the Happy Hour.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Spring is here, and that means spring cleaning is too. This year, I tried Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, and it worked like magic. It cleaned the tough stuff that my sprays and wipes just cannot clean, like burnt-on stains on my stovetop. And that stubborn ring around my bathtub, it is gone, you guys. And it was so easy to use. You just wet, squeeze, and it's ready to erase. See what cleaning wonders it can do for your home by visiting MrClean.com/thehappyhour. I told you that you guys were going to love my conversation with Holly, and I hope you did as much as I promised. I loved hearing her story because it's another example of how much God redeems our lives, no matter how far we are from him. Also, can you even begin to believe her finger landing on John 8 when she opened up her stolen Bible? I promise you, I have not stopped thinking about that. I love it so very much. You guys, my hope for you as you listen to the show today is not that you're going to leave here remembering a crazy story of a girl who stole a Bible and cried out to God on the bathroom floor after her world was collapsing around her, but I pray and hope that you're going to leave here remembering how good our God is, how faithful our God is, how much joy we can have no matter what our circumstances are, because we've all overcome so much and been forgiven of so much. You guys, make sure you check out Holly's Instagram and her webpage. We're going to link to all of those in the show notes over at jamieivey.com. Also, don't forget, tomorrow I'm giving away some of her product, a necklace, on my Instagram page. Go find me over there at Jamie Ivey. Also, I told Holly one of my favorite books I've ever read called Girls Like Us. She's going to go grab it and start reading it. I hope you do as well. You can get it on Amazon. Just be ready to have your mind blown with every single chapter. And if you don't mind, I do a small plug. While you're there, just go ahead and grab If You Only Knew. That's my book that released this past January, and I think you're going to love it as well. Today's show was edited by Chris with Podshaper, and the music was developed for the show by Matt Graham. Next week, my guest is Carrie Rosema. Carrie was recommended to me by her friend, and when I heard her story, I could not stop thinking about it. Again, I'm so thankful that she came into my studio and shared her story with me. Carrie and her husband actually dated while he was in prison, and they were married 10 days after his release. I cannot wait for you to hear her story of God's faithfulness in her life and in her marriage. You guys, enjoy your week. Share the show with a girlfriend. Have a happy hour with a friend, and I will see you guys back here next week with my guest, Carrie Rosema.
Thank you.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.